Welcome to True Confessions of a Sales Leader. This is a podcast where sales leaders share the secrets of their successes and failures while offering hard-won guidance along the way. I'm Scott Olson, founder of the Olson Group. We're here to help you and your sales team develop the skills, system, and culture that lead to sustainable and significant results. Our mission for each show is to give you transformational guidance you can take and use immediately in your sales organization. Thanks for tuning in. Please enjoy the show.
All right. Welcome to another episode of True Confessions of a Sales Leader. We have Scott and Gary here with us, and then we have a special guest with us, Dave McLaren from Blackboard. So let's start with introductions. Scott, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Melissa. Really excited about today's podcast with Dave. So I founded the Olson Group back in 1999 with the mission of helping sales leaders and their sales people, the sales teams, really achieve more than they ever thought possible. And we do that through our training, our consulting, our coaching services.
And Gary?
Yes, I'm the managing partner of Olson Group, and Scott and I have worked together for many, many years. About half of the time we worked together, I was actually a client of the Olson Group. And so working as a sales leader in a number of companies, mostly in high tech. So I come to it as a perspective, as really as a client.
And Dave McLaren, vice president at Blackboard. Dave, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Melissa. My name is Dave McLaren. I run our global client experience organization at Blackboard, which is a new organization within Blackboard. Blackboard is the global leader in educational technology and working with higher education, K-12, and business government entities in driving a deep understanding into how we understand learning today and how we apply technology to that to create an environment where students, learners persist and succeed, as well as supporting our institutions and partners along the way. So we've been doing this for about 20 years.
So we are in COVID times right now, and I would say you're probably pretty busy right about this second.
That is an understatement. And I'm hearkening back to February. We were in a global meeting in Bogota, Colombia, and this was just when COVID started getting a little more airway and it became a little more of a thing. And I remember talking to people in my organization, we're like, what's going to happen here? How is it going to impact higher education? How is it going to impact our BizGov clients and our K-12 clients? Within a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, we were completely mobilized, figuring out how do we get our clients online? How do we educate faculty to pedagogically meet their expectations with their clients, with their students and their learners in the classroom? How do we effectively help our clients and our partners manage through this significant change? And that whole process really happened within 60 days of the middle of March. And it was an experience. It was a lot of work. And there's a lot of things that have changed as a result of that. And I think what we're going to see is some of the things that we've seen, some of these changes, are not going to go away. So our organization is focused on how do we support this new landscape of learning? And then specifically, my organization is focused on how do we ensure that we are engaging our clients in a way that's meaningful to them, considering there's a pandemic, that's addressing their needs, which are various, and that's helping students succeed in a super weird time.
So that wasn't the only big thing to change for Blackboard. And prior to COVID, you had a vision to change up the organization, change up the vision, and move it away from client health and focus more on client sentiment. So tell me a little bit about those two schools of thought and what they mean.
In 2019, when I took over the global consulting organization, myself and my leadership team recognized that as our clients continue to move to the cloud and SaaS and move away from, on-premise hosting and managed hosting, there's just going to be a different requirement for how we engage them. So we started to think about what a new organization would look like within Blackboard. And that was ended up being the merging of our client success organization, our consulting organization, and our provisioning organization, which then became Global Client Success. And our charter is really to think about how do we create positive client sentiment and how do we build raving fans? And I was thinking about this, Melissa. I think the example I would use is when you go to a family reunion, you meet your cousins and people haven't seen for a while, and you're cordial and you want to be there because you have to be there versus hooking up with some friends from college or people from the neighborhood that you hadn't seen in a while and having that type of engagement where you want to be there. We're in a place in Global Client Experience where we want to shift the needle from have to want to from our clients. And the way we're going to do that is through executing against this new organization within Blackboard, which we call GCX, and meeting our clients where they're at, where their learners are at, and affecting our ability to exceed what they're looking for, especially with everything that's going on right now. So it's been ironic that this organization started almost at the onset of the pandemic and how the two have come together to create some pretty interesting results.
Well, you were comparing a family reunion and or neighbors getting together, and there's a personal side to it. It's about knowing people. It's about communicating. It's about being vulnerable. It's about listening. How much of those interpersonal skills are you directly asking your team to work on? How much of that do you do in a corporate setting with clients to build those relationships up?
That's a great question. And it's actually top of mind. It's funny you just bring that up right now. You know, we're looking at a couple of key things within the organization that we continue to need to work on. But really, it's how do we have a defined client journey? I.e., you become a client of Blackboard, what's your relationship going to be like through various stages, through buying stages, through service requirements, tickets, all of these things. So we've defined what that client journey looks like. What we're working on right now is none of this matters unless everyone's of the mindset that how we engage our clients needs to be different than it was in the past. So I'll give you a great example that someone gave me last week where, you know, we had a client who wanted to get a question answered. And the immediate response from someone in my organization might be, well, why don't you file a ticket? We'll make sure that tickets get answered. The person who told me this story then coached this person and said, look, instead of asking them to file the ticket, why don't you try to find the answer? And if you can't find the answer, you file the ticket and you manage the process. And although that's kind of a very kind of layman response to your question, that is a significant shift in how we intend to engage our clients. My organization really does become the customer intimate part of Blackboard to the market, but it's only going to be successful if our people start thinking differently about what it means to delight a client and what it means to understand how what you do impacts that client's sentiment, sentiment meaning how they feel about us, not the, you know, what I said earlier, the have to, but the want to. That's the biggest challenge we have in front of us right now. We've put everything else in place, but now getting my organization to have that mindset is that's everything at this point.
Well, fortunately, we have a couple of sales coaches on the call with us. So Scott and Gary, we're going to put you to the test. What is your advice to Dave to get the team more engaged on a more of an interpersonal level, or to really becoming, as Dave said, to really delight the clients?
Great question. You know, I really appreciate what Dave is doing and what he's done at Blackboard with this transition and this focus. And it makes me think from the, you know, the consulting side of things is how do you engage your workforce really So they're doing this as a want to also versus a have to. So it kind of trickles down along. And how do you engage them, make them part of this process? And one of the things Dave mentioned, which I really want to focus on as well, is he mentioned coaching the individual folks on the customer success team, the consulting team, and so on. Build on what they're doing right, recognize the gaps, and then develop, you know, a group plan, but also individual plans on how to make this transition. And something I think Gary's probably going to pick up on here in a moment is really helping them understand the why. And the reason I think Gary's going to pick up on this is because he's always reminding me it's important to understand, you know, why are we doing this so everyone can buy in.
Yes, I was going that direction. And what I like about what, Dave, you're doing is you're focusing on the client journey. And what we've done, and you may have already done this, we've done with some clients, is we've defined that client journey, helped them to define that journey from the client's perspective, not from the organization's perspective. And we typically do that through interviewing your best clients and your not so happy clients, and then take each step of that journey. And as Scott said, once we hear it from the customer, from the client, and typically we will record some of those interviews in video and actually play those back for people that are now responsible for each aspect of that journey. And it gets to what Dave was saying, you really become empathetic because you're hearing it from the actual client. Many times they don't have that opportunity because they're a couple of layers down or a couple of layers apart from the customer. So that helps. And the question we ask customers is, you know, why is this important to you at this aspect of the journey with Blackboard? Why is this important to you? How does it affect you and your organization? And so the why is important.
That's a good point, Gary. And we have done some of that work. It's funny. I think where I've gone and actually talked to some of our clients and kind of laid out, hey, this is for GCX. This is our organizational strategy. Kind of this is our charter. This is what our organization looks like. And this is what's in it for you. It's been interesting to see the various reactions from clients who, how our clients see us, like where they at relative to my organization. And some are like, wow, this is great. Some are like, you know, skeptical. Sure, that makes sense. Some are like, well, if you can pull that off, that's a game changer. So that's why this mindset piece to me is so important, because all of the changes we've made, the structural changes, the changes strategically, you know, the client journey, none of that matters unless everyone in the organization is kind of operating from the same kind of client heartbeat and is thinking of the client first. That's not an easy thing to get people on board with. So that's been the interesting part of this. What's been great is I'm just lucky with the people I have in my organization. It wasn't like pushing a thread uphill. It was like, here's what's in it for our client. Here's what's in it for you. Here's what's in it for the organization. Here's what's in it for our shareholder. Let's find, you know, a value system to operate within that we all agree upon, that lines up to our client's value system. And let's see where this thing goes. And what's the old saying? You'd rather be lucky than good. Sometimes I feel like that statement resonates with me relative to what we've been doing. So it's been interesting. But Gary, your point is well received.
Well, and I think, Dave, your last point there about it starts with the people. You clearly have an organization of people who care, just from the discussions that we've had about it. And that's where it starts. And I really like the value system, matching up value systems between clients is so important. And getting, you know, people are first, right? Clients are people and we're people. And if you don't start with that, it doesn't usually go too far.
Exactly. Couldn't agree more.
So, Dave, I have two questions I want to ask, and they're going in two different directions. So let's see where each of these takes us. I loved your example about the ticket and filing the ticket for the client instead of, you know, expecting the client to file the ticket. And I'm thinking about that moment and sitting in that chair when chances are that salesperson, and I'm really fictionalizing the salesperson, that there had been a time in that person's career as a salesperson where they were heavily measured on how they spend their time versus the revenue they bring into the company. And so the time it would take to file that ticket was basically lost money to them and lost money to the company. And perhaps their boss at that time would have said, why did you do that? You're not driving any revenue. How do you change that individual's mind to a point where basically their thought process changes in that moment? They're not down this entire track that's been coached into them for years that time is money, essentially, and that revenue is the most important thing, and that's how you should spend all your time. How do you get all of that undone and make it so their first reaction is, oh, I'll just file that ticket and go on about my day?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the answer is asking really good questions. One of the biggest struggles I have as a leader is my knee-jerk reaction is to tell people what to do because it's the fastest thing to get something done. That's in the back of my head. The hard thing to do is to ask questions, asking disruptive questions, asking questions that create kind of a guided discovery moment for the person you're working with, so that they come to the conclusion through those questions and that they come to resolution with why it makes sense because they figured it out, not because I told them this is what needs to happen. And that might sound simple, but for some people, myself included, I've had to create like this muscle memory to ask those types of questions to get people to think differently about what it is they do and how they do it and why that's important. And I think if you do that, you know, on an individual, if you engage someone at that level individually, and then that line of questioning happens organizationally, and you've created an environment where there's some trust, I think you can get buy-in on why that extra effort matters. And additionally, to be fair to the person who you're having this conversation with, you know, if they're making money off a quota or a plan, and you're asking them to not consider that, I think that's a little foolish. I think as an organization, you need to be able, you must be willing to be flexible. If the most important thing is the client and the client sentiment, then the KPIs around your team need to reflect that, starting with the leader's KPIs. So in addition to asking really good questions, I think pointing the organization in a direction from a values standpoint and building KPIs that align to that, I think between those two things, Melissa, you can get pretty far.
Okay. I'm going to ask you my second question. Was there ever a time while you were going through this change where you were like, oh, this isn't going the way I wanted it to?
I'm still going through it. No. Yeah, of course. But, you know, it was interesting. It wasn't just me, right? I might have stirred the pot, and then I got some people that I work with that liked having the pot stirred, and they're like, we can take this to the next level. And, you know, in my role, that's what I need to be doing. You know, I don't need to be laying out the design of an organization or laying out this is what everyone needs to be doing. Again, I think I need to be asking disruptive questions, you know, adaptive type questions that are big and hairy and challenging and thought-provoking, and then see how the people around me react to that and what they want to do with that. And, you know, we locked ourselves in a room at an offsite for 4 days and then did it again 5 months later. and came out with this new organization that's phenomenal. But a lot of that was built based upon trust, like my team trusting me that where I thought the organization needed to go makes sense, and me trusting them on, okay, if that's where we're going, this is how we're going to get there. So in between all of that, Melissa, yeah, sleepless nights, is this going to work? I think I made a big mistake. It's one of my favorite Seinfeld lines. But it took a collective amount of guts to make this change. We had a very strong business in consulting, and we could have kept running that even today. But we were willing to put ourselves out there because we know that our clients' needs are changing. And with even more so with the pandemic, where I did have some angst and some cause to rethink things, I look back on it now and it's like the best thing we've ever done. And the timing of it couldn't have been more perfect. We are well positioned now to support clients in a way that we couldn't have supported them a year ago. And I'm pretty proud of that.
I'm excited to talk about that. I want to give Scott and Gary time because I know that there are other people listening to this podcast right now who are either thinking about changing their organization or in the midst of it and feeling those sleepless nights, feeling those moments of what have I done. Gary, what do you say to those leaders who are going through it, who are in the midst of it and experiencing the complex feelings that go along with changing an organization?
Yes. In fact, Scott and I were just on with an executive for a local company. They're growing quickly, lots of challenges. And that question came up in the session this week. And as Scott mentioned earlier, it's for us to remind that individual to go back to why we've decided to make this change, why it's important to the customer, to the client, and refresh our minds because we get, as Dave was saying, we get so entrenched in the actual movement of the organization and the change that in some cases we have to bring ourselves out of that fog into, wait, what was the reason we were doing this? And what are the tenets and what are the values, as Dave mentioned before, what are the values we agreed upon? You know, we go back to that because that's usually where we start. You know, where is it we want with the end, as Scott always says, with the end in mind, let's talk about what you want it to look like at the end of this process or in the middle of this process, and let's work toward that working backwards. And the other thing that Dave mentioned earlier is a very difficult skill to learn while you're going through this is not to be directing people on what to do, but guiding them through very thoughtful questions. And that's a skill that we train leaders on. And it's really part of that coaching that Scott was talking about is let's talk about the different types of questions you can ask individuals as you're asking them to take on specific assignments and change and to change their teams and how they're thinking. It's always looks easy from the outside, but as Dave knows, a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of weekends thinking, did I really do the right thing there? And I could hear that in his voice. And when we spoke before, I got the same thing. And I think where it comes from, what I perceive from Dave is empathy for all parties involved. It has to be a 360 degree empathy map, if you will, because everybody has difficulty with change. It's the nature of the situation.
Scott, what do you tell people?
Let's see. What do I tell people? Building on what Gary mentioned, yeah, let's start with the end in mind. What's the vision? What are the trade-offs here? Referencing Dave's situation, things were going well, but we know that what got us here may not get us where we want to go. And so we're making these trade-offs. And we'll sacrifice this for something bigger and better for everybody down the road. So those aren't easy things to think through. And so we think those through and what are the alternatives? And we go through a process helping our clients do this in a way that really engages everybody, but we don't just want to go along to get along. We also want to be comfortable challenging each other and not attacking each other, but attacking the problem here. What are we looking at? Because we want the buy-in, but we also want the best solution. That's one of the really important things that we focus on. Actually, we're about to do that next week with an operations team, an executive team, helping them think through. And they're having a great year. In spite of all this, they're able to move forward, hit their goals, but they know they need to keep asking the question, now what? How do we adjust? How do we move forward? Let's challenge each other and what we're doing today to come out even stronger in the future. So those are some of the thoughts I think about.
Yeah, we use this model called the transition curve. And I really leveraged this last year where it's, I won't go through the whole thing, but it basically starts with, you know, it's like a change curve, which kind of starts with anxiety and then ends with commitment. And there's all of these stages in between. And it was interesting to see where people were at on the transition curve and to see even people on my own team admitting where they were in different parts of this transition curve and using that as coaching moments to get people to a place where not only they felt committed, but they felt empowered. And that's one of, you know, when we think about our strategic framework we built for GCX, one of the chevrons is empowerment, which really is driven from the fact that our results come from people, and people need to feel that they've got a level of empowerment to think differently about how they work with their clients. And you know, in thinking differently, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, but they're empowered to make those decisions and know that if it's a bad thing, we learn from it, we move on quickly. If it's a good thing, we keep doing it. I think that was new to a lot of folks. And I think once they started to see that it wasn't just lip service, we were saying, okay, here's a problem, you guys go fix it, you're empowered to fix it, and they actually fixed it, they started to realize, all right, this is real. And that's where we've started to see momentum in the business. Because, you know, I got a sales number to hit, I got a revenue number to hit, we're all in that kind of financial boat together. But there's a way to do that differently than a lot of companies do. And there's a way to empower people to get to where they need to be that creates a better client experience. And I think that's what we've put our finger on the pulse of. And that's why I think we're going to start to see some significant growth in the business over the next 2 years.
And Melissa, if I could build on that too, Dave sparked some ideas. One was around, there's a fatal flaw that we can see despite change, but just making sure everyone is clear about what does success look like? What does quality look like now? How are we redefining that? And working with another client this morning, that's a big question mark. We can see it across the sales organization is different definitions of what quality looks like. And so we want to really help ensure that everyone's clear on that. And do we have the tools? Do we have the processes, the knowledge, and then the skills to execute on this? And then that comes back to that coaching. So we've all defined what that looks like. We're confident about our tools, process, knowledge. Now the execution of that is making sure the managers, the leaders are working with the folks on the front line to give them that feedback. Hey, this is looking really good. Let's work on these other areas. So it's so dynamic and it just builds on itself over time. So just wanted to kind of highlight that piece about defining what quality looks like.
Well, thank you, Scott. All right, Dave. So you had a new organization. You had a newly organized team who were sort of inhabiting a new mind space, and then COVID hits. What happened right at the beginning of COVID as things were ramping up? And now that you've reached a new normal in terms of, I'm sure, increased demand, I'm sure you mentioned anxiety. I'm sure there was anxiety on the part of your clients too. Now that the team is a little bit more solidified and you can kind of predict the future a little tiny bit, how is the newly formed organization handling these absolutely increased demand on the product and on your team?
So two questions. The first question is, so what happened? Like most companies, you know, we stopped traveling and everyone went virtual. And we started thinking about how we deliver work virtually, which was, you know, typically not the case. And then, so that was an internal view. And I think there was like a, you know, like, and this is probably true for everyone on this call, there was like a month or two, maybe even still to today, where it was, there was this surreal kind of thing happening. But then the other thing that happened was we got hit up by our clients who just went into this mode of, we need help. We don't know how to do this. We need to get online. We need to have an action plan. We need support from a number of different angles, not only for students, but for faculty, for teachers, for various learners. So we started to do these pro bono webinars designed to inform people on, you know, you might have done this in the classroom. This is how you might do this online. You might have done it this way for this class. Well, maybe think about doing it this way for this class. And it was almost like this triage moment where we just quickly put as much stuff out there to help our clients relative to what they were facing. And it was a scramble. And then the workload started to increase, as you can imagine. Then managing the organization through, how do we do twice the amount of work with the same amount of people? You know, working through leaders to make sure their teams were engaged, to make sure their teams were okay. It was taking an empathetic approach to what everything was going through, and leveraging the leadership team to make sure that everyone was being communicated with. You know, it wasn't just Dave on a monthly call to the group. It's like, no, we need to have an improved cadence of communication with our internal team to make sure we're meeting the expectations of the market. And now we're looking into next year thinking, you know, how long is this going to keep going? When will this slow down? Because next, it's interesting, Melissa, the needs of our clients across our portfolio next year are going to be different than this year. You know, this year was a very reactive, we got to figure stuff out. We don't have time. Let's do what we can. I think now that everyone's had, when I say everyone, I mean our clients and then my team internally, now that we've had some time to look back, I think everyone's scratching their head going, what does the next 6 months look like? What does the next 12 months look like? And what's great about this new organization is we have thought leaders within it who now, under this new structure, are charged with waking up every day thinking about, what do parents and learners need that we can provide them? What do faculty need that they currently don't have that we can provide them? What do our technology leaders within our institutions need? What does leadership within our institutions need? And we've got people focused on that. So I feel like the timing of this new organization lines up just perfectly to what the market's going to need over the next 12 months. And our challenge is trying to anticipate that, right? Because everything is changing. Everything is moving so fast. Our partners, our clients have significant challenges that we want to work with them on to make sure they're providing, you know, the best experience for their learners. And we're providing the best experience for them. So that's a long-winded answer, Melissa, of saying it's been a lot, but we've learned a lot. And we're excited to be able to apply that going forward.
Scott, Gary, you talk to Dave, you talk to other sales leaders. When you look at the people who you've talked to in their various organizations, what do the successful organizations have in common during COVID? What are they doing that other people can learn from so that other sales teams can be more successful during this tough time?
Well, some of the things are the same things really that they're doing, but they're getting different answers. One thing I wanted to highlight that Dave mentioned was those questions that he's asking, those challenging questions to really kind of make people think, disruptive, adaptive questions. So those need to continue. And the other thing we find with our sales organizations that we work with is they do a the leaders, not only the salespeople, of course, but the leaders are listening in. They're a part of customer conversations. They are not taking over calls. They're hopefully listening to the salespeople and then providing that feedback, that thinking in advance, that strategic thinking, and then feedback afterward, so the salespeople can continually improve. It's so dynamic. There's always challenges with business. This has been unbelievable this year with the amount of challenges, obviously. So it's even more important, but really to be listening to conversations and not just guessing. Gary mentioned earlier, reaching out to customers, that can be done through focus groups and third-party research as well. But that day-to-day, that ongoing, are those frontline sales leaders listening in? Are they gathering feedback from the customer and helping that drive decision-making and adjustments versus just kind of winging it in a sense?
Gary, what do you think?
Yes, Dave is doing many of the best practices that we endorse and support. And one of those that he mentioned is this constant change. There's a transition. He talked about a transition curve. And there is a mindset you need to get people into. And that, I think, must have been a very significant aspect, understanding where they are on that transition curve. Because then you can help them work through the transition, because there's emotion, there's logic, it's all combined. And let's get a meter on where you're at. We do workshops on that to help people understand where they are in that transition curve. And then what Dave has been doing really is, I'm thinking of one of our clients that has been doing very well during these very difficult business times, is defining the value from the customer's perspective, as we talked earlier, that the value that the customer is expecting in the sales process, and then building a seamless transition as they move to the customer success or client success team, or the consulting team name you put on that. It's taking what the customer thought in their minds would be the value and extending and even helping the customer imagine beyond that. And that's where I really came to with Dave, and why I was really excited about having this conversation, so that people could really understand Dave's mindset. Dave and his team and his executives are taking what customers expect, and they're actually helping them imagine more than what they expected. And that is truly best practice. I mean, if you can stay ahead of your clients by brainstorming with them, even those things that they think are not possible, well, if it was possible, what would it look like? And so exciting work that Dave and his team are doing, and it never ends, right, David? It's not like it stops now. That mode of operation continues to change the organization.
I appreciate that. I think I said this on to you or to Scott, but like, my organization is like a ship that will never have a port. We will always be out to sea, navigating different challenges, because our clients are always going to have different challenges. And I would also say this, there has never been a more important time to be really good at asking questions of clients right now, because the next 6 to 18 months are going to define in many ways how work gets done, how business is conducted, how transactions happen, how you engage and delight clients. We're in this, I hate this term, but we are in this unprecedented space where leaders have an opportunity to engage their customers in the market in a way that could generate years of success, versus what we typically do is react to a market need or become, transactional relationship. So I think the timing for sales leaders and sales folks to really hone in on asking really good questions and being disruptive and not being afraid to be disruptive, the time for that is now, in my opinion.
Dave, what does 2021 look like for your team?
Well, for me, I'm going to be a year older, so I'm not happy about that. For the team, I think we proved out something that we said we would prove out for this year. Now it's about sustaining and growing and scaling. So we are like a startup in a 20-year-old company, which is exciting and fun, and people are curious. And it goes from being this like bright, shiny object that everyone thinks is cool to, okay, now put up or shut up. So we are positioned to have a phenomenal year in 2020. You know, GCX, not only financially, but from a client standpoint. But I think 2021 is where we start to think about, what do the next 5 years look like? How does this thing scale to meet market demands? What are the new offerings we need to be working on and roadmapping to and delivering on in an expedited way? How do we get closer to the learner? And how do we think about the learner's needs and the varying demographic of learner we serve, which is everyone from K-12 to a corporate learner. It could be, you know, a single parent with five kids who's working a job and trying to get a degree. It could be someone who's looking to get certificates and badging. It could be any number of person. How do we get close enough to those learners where we can personalize learning? And that is our focus for 2021. So we've kind of built it, and now we just need to, I'll use the ship analogy, sail it in 2021 and in the same direction. So, and I feel good about that. I do. We've done a lot of heavy lifting, and there's been a lot of work in the transition curve, and there's been a lot of coaching. But I think people believe now that this idea, this concept that we've been executing against this year, it matters to our clients, matters to the company, matters to the employee, and matters to the shareholder. So now it's like, all right, let's start thinking about 2022 and what's the next generation of this. And to me, that's the fun part, because we are completely unconstrained in where this business can go from a mindset standpoint. And I feel strongly that the people in my organization feel the same way.
Well, Dave, you've mentioned a handful of times in this podcast about asking disruptive questions. And at the end of each of these podcasts, we do that very thing. We do a rapid fire round where you have to answer the question quickly and succinctly. So this is the closing of the podcast. Are you ready?
All right.
All right. Here's your rapid fire question. What is one piece of advice you wish you had taken during an organizational change? Go ahead, Dave.
My boss said to me, when I finally sold him on this concept, he said to me, "Be careful what you wish for." And that rings true every day, because what you don't think about is how your day-to-day changes. And my day-to-day has changed from running a consulting organization to running a client experience organization. It's like a 180. So be careful what you wish for. I don't even know if that's advice or a statement, I guess.
I think it is. It's both.
Yeah. Because whenever I call him and complain about something, he's like, "You wanted this."
You get less empathy from him because he got a little "I told you so" in there.
I do. But yeah, it's like I think Scott or Gary were saying, it's, you know, it takes a bit of blind faith and courage to go through a big transformational change. But if you believe in the people around you and you have conviction in what you think's important, it's worth it.
All right, Scott.
And my question is?
Same question. What's one piece of advice you wish you had taken during an organizational change?
Oh, wow. Well, I think it goes, for me, it's stay close to the customer. And really, what Dave made me think of, he's really an example of really a value creator, helping his team be value creators, not just thinking of their customer, but their customer's customer and thinking out into the future. So, but ultimately, just stay even closer to the customers, asking them questions, getting feedback along the way. That'd be the one thing to do more of.
All right, Gary, are you ready to close us out?
Yes.
All right.
I had a couple of thoughts. One is Scott, you know, saying that you have to really know the customer's mindset. And that, I think it took me in my career really having a leader say, if it doesn't matter to the customer, it doesn't matter. And really taking that to heart changed both how I led sales teams and customer success teams and marketing teams. If it doesn't matter to them, then why does it matter to us? And so I think learning that earlier would have been better, would have helped.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Gary. And thank you, Dave, for joining us on another episode of True Confessions of a Sales Leader.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, all.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, Dave.
Hi, this is Scott Olson, founder of the Olson Group. If you found this podcast helpful and informative, don't forget to subscribe via your favorite podcast app or follow the show on Spotify. If you are looking to take your sales organization to the next level and accelerate the growth of your business, the Olson Group can help. Please feel free to reach out to me directly via email at scott@olsongroup.net or call me at 503-525-8866. Thanks again for listening.